Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bebop Banter, the internet's premier anime podcast. My name is Wes, and I'm joined by my co-host, Demetrius.
Hello, friends.
And Saeed.
How's it going?
And this is going to be kind of a different episode, I guess is the way to say it. First of all, thank you to everybody that has listened to the last couple. If you haven't, check it out. You know, we did the reaction to the Crunchyroll Anime Awards. We talked about our experience at KatsuCon 24. A couple, like, kind of lighthearted, fun episodes. And we are a little late to the party on this one. If you read the description to the last episode, you know that people were on vacation. We got a shout-out, Saeed Ramadan Mubarak, my brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Lots of stuff. And then also, it just kind of what we're going to be talking about, I think it's not an exaggeration to say it kind of caught us all off guard a little bit, and we wanted to really take the time to digest everything about it, because in terms of us being anime fans and manga fans and just friends in general amongst ourselves and in the community, this is the second time that this has happened, and it begs, you know, a conversation that going forward, it's going to be more common, unfortunately. But we need to address it. And that is the passing of notable mangaka, maybe one of the most influential mangaka of all time, in Akira Toriyama, or Akira Toriyama, however you want to pronounce it. Really, this is just going to be an episode where we all talk about the impact that he had on our lives. I mean, as I sit in my room, I'm looking around, and Dragon Ball merch is the most out of any anime series I have. Like, my very first memories are of Dragon Ball. So we're really just going to talk about it. But it's important to note, you know, some of the other things that he had going on that maybe a lot of people don't quite know about. He was really prevalent in the video game industry, with Square Enix in particular. The Dragon Quest series, Toriyama has done all the illustrations, character designs, creature designs for Chrono Trigger, one of the most iconic Super Nintendo games or RPGs of all time. Arguably one that people point to as one of the best games of all time. Character designs by Akira Toriyama. He had the Sandland franchise with a game and a movie coming out soon. He had, before all of that, Dr. Slump, which some people might not know as much, but if you know Arale from Dragon Ball, because she makes some cameo appearances, she is from that series. So he really was more than just Dragon Ball in a way, from the people he influenced to the series that he helped craft and bring into this world. So, it's worth a look to go and kind of check out what he's done. But I'm going to pass it to you guys to start. You know, I think the easiest way before we get into our own personal thoughts is just, what did we think about the outpouring of support from mangaka to actual governments to sports teams to celebrities? What did we think about that? Because, I mean, when Miura passed, you know, it was a big thing for all of us. I mean, I got a Berserk tattoo right after that. But Toriyama is kind of a different scale.
It's a different beast. I know you mentioned one of the... I would argue he is the most influential Japanese artist, period, across the board in history. In my opinion. Because of the way things basically ended up in the West with how Japanese culture all like is so popular in the West now. I attribute it to Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z and Akira Toriyama. But yeah, but like you mentioned before, the reaction to his passing was obviously sad, but in a sense it unified many communities across the board, not just the anime community, in celebrating his life and people sharing their, I guess, experiences growing up with it, which we will also be doing in this podcast. But it was nice to see, obviously. And like you mentioned before as well, it's not just like little people like us. It's like Omega famous people, government officials, everyone. And it seems like almost everyone in all walks of life was somewhat influenced by his work, which is more than any human being can possibly hope or inspire to do in general, in like the history of the world, which is kind of crazy to think about. He's a very special individual, and he will be missed.
Yeah, and I mean, just jumping on the back of what Saeed was saying, the overwhelming outpouring of support for just what he was doing, what he has done, and what he was working on, it was a common uniter. He created a series that literally you saw a character grow up through it and face different challenges, and I think a lot of people can relate to growing up and doing that very same thing. So to see people in Latin America, Europe, Asia, North America, everybody coming together and celebrating the experience that they had because of his artistic vision was heartwarming, even in the face of something that is so unexpected and sad. But, you know, the other part of it is, from an artist's perspective, and I've dabbled in art, I've put some things up on social media and all that stuff, but the real ultimate, I would say the ultimate goal for any artist is really just, you know, to be able to express themselves freely and be seen for it. And I think he achieved something that millions of people across the world are trying to really get. So he's, no matter which way you really look at Akira Toriyama, he was really an artistic genius. And like you said, he will be missed. This one was a shock.
Yeah, yeah. It caught me off guard because I was on Twitter and I saw the the tweet, and it was posted, like, when I saw it, it was like 3 minutes that it was up, the official release of the news. And I was like, is this a parody account? Because how Twitter's been, I'm like, is this like a joke? But then it ended up being real. I was in shock. It caught me super off guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was in shock for a few days. Like, I saw more come out. I saw different news outlets. I saw different posts. And I still couldn't really, like, wrap my head around the magnitude of the loss, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, for me too, it's like Dragon Ball, and you guys have touched on it. He has a bunch of other works, of course, but Dragon Ball as a franchise kind of like transcends the anime more than any other series, I think, right? Like,
oh yeah, it's influenced way more than just anime.
Yeah. And
you wouldn't have anime really in the West the way it is without Dragon Ball.
Yeah, not even close.
And it's like humbling to see a picture was circulating around social media, because Akira Toriyama would draw little sketches at the end or beginning of volumes, and it's humbling to see, no matter how big his franchises ever got, there's a little sketch I dropped in our group chat a while ago that said, "This is me in paradise." And it's his little character that he would draw to represent himself, sitting at a little table with a Coke can, some crackers, a model car, a cigarette, and a little dirty magazine, just sitting there smoking, reading it. And he really was just that kind of guy, right? From leaning into jokes about, like, you know, the whole Broly thing. Who's ready to meet a Saiyan that you've never ever seen before? To, I think, having an acute understanding of what people want from Dragon Ball. Like, there's a major Dragon Ball product coming out for the anniversary in Dragon Ball Daima, right? Mm. That after, I mean, I don't want to speculate here, but after his passing, it was announced that rather than being a strict net anime, that TV Tokyo, which aired the original Dragon Ball, decided to pick it up and air it on TV now. So I'd like to think that was kind of in his honor, but it was definitely shocking in that way. The amount of mangaka that just put statements out. I mean, Oda and Kishimoto's statements were incredible to read, right?
Yes.
But even people that were in completely different genres than Toriyama and Dragon Ball putting out statements, like the To Love Ru mangaka, among others, really just shows, like you mentioned, Saeed and Demetrius, the influence that he's had across the industry, which is just, it's nuts to think about, right? And then, like, it's hard for me to describe how kind of heartwarming it was to see, but, like, even that actor of Goku from the original, or from, not the original, but from Dragon Ball Evolution, the only live-action adaptation of Dragon Ball.
Yeah, that was
put
cool.
Put out a post apologizing that they couldn't do it better, which, I mean, he's not wrong, but, like, it was just crazy to kind of see. It still hasn't really, as I, again, sit surrounded by Dragon Ball figures or series that are so obviously influenced by Dragon Ball, it still hasn't fully set in, which I think is now the perfect time for all of us here to just talk about our experiences with Toriyama's works in general. So I'll throw it again to you guys. You know, just whatever you want to say about your memories about it.
Oh, boy.
That's where it's a lot. I could go first if no one wants to, but...
No, I'll take a crack at it. I was a big fan of Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z was the first work of his that I saw as a kid. I'm pretty sure I saw it on either Toonami or when it was on either Channel 5 or 50 in the mornings on Saturdays. I forget which ones in particular, but I'm pretty sure I felt like instantly in love with the series. That's the crazy thing is, I can't remember exactly when the first time I watched it was, which means I watched it when I was like little. But after that, I would buy tapes of them, like the VHS tapes. And the VHS tapes were so cool because if you stack them on the side, it like has a picture.
Oh, they were so dope. They were. Oh, I wish I kept them.
I would rewatch them constantly. They're at my parents' house.
Dude, I saw them. I saw them at your parents' house when we were there for your baby shower. It was incredible.
Yes, I didn't have a big collection, so I would rewatch stuff over and over and over again. So I remember I had the Goku versus Frieza episode where Frieza cuts himself in half by doing the whole destructive disc thing. I had that in my memory of me rewatching it a lot. And I'm pretty sure I also had the Trunks episode, like when we first see Trunks ever, Future Trunks.
One of the best
can we talk about
introductions
too? Oh my god, wait. Key memory of mine, before I even knew who Trunks was in those videotapes, they would have commercials before the episodes would start. And there was this commercial for Trunks in like the promotion of, I guess, the next VHS set or whatever for the Android Saga. It was the coolest commercial in the world. It had like Trunks' theme playing while it was showing like cuts of the episode. I was like, this looks crazy. That's like a childhood memory ingrained in my head watching that.
Yeah, dude. I think there's, like, as a kid, similar to Saeed, when I was growing up, I can't remember when I first started watching Dragon Ball Z in particular, but I remember watching one of the first memories. Of course, everybody remembers when Goku went Super Saiyan.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm.
Especially with, you know, the Bruce Falconer rendition. Not saying anything bad about the original with the music, but I specifically remember just how intense that part of the series was. Yep. And probably trying to go Super Saiyan for the rest of my childhood.
Yeah. How many people here tried to... I have distinct memories of being on the playground with my friends when I lived in Japan, trying to, like, go Super Saiyan. Right? We all did it.
Everybody did it. There was a YouTube video uploaded of the black guy. Yeah, the black guy yeah. trying to go Super Saiyan. And we've all did it. I mean, we cracked on him a little bit, but we've all done it. We've all tried. Yep. So, I mean, little stuff like that. And then later in the Buu saga, Gohan teaching Videl how to fly. We were like, oh, so there is a way to do it. Maybe I can do that too.
Yep.
Stuff like that. And, you know, just growing up with the series and then later finding out, oh, there's Dragon Ball. So there's something when Goku was a kid and watching all of that. You know, words really can't describe what it's like to grow up with the series and to see it evolve well into adulthood. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, here we are. It feels like it transcends time. So it's almost like I'm still watching as a kid in a way.
Yeah, I actually kind of am the reverse of probably majority of Dragon Ball fans in that my first memories of Dragon Ball are primarily of the original Dragon Ball. Because I remember living in Japan and I had a VHS of the very first part of the Saiyan saga, but it wasn't the Sean Schemmel dub or anything. Remember they had that ocean dub?
The ocean dub, yeah.
Yeah, I had an ocean dub VHS, and I'd watch that over and over, which is Dragon Ball Z. But then I have a very distinct memory of going on base to the... If you're a military family out there, you go on base, there's an exchange, and you can buy like a lot of different stuff. It's like a Target, essentially, for military personnel.
Without tax.
And without tax. Hey, I mean, it's good. I still shop there, you know. But I have a distinct memory of getting the first arc of Dragon Ball on DVD, not VHS, on like early 2000s, not even early 2000s, like 1999, 2000s, DVD of that whole like Goku meeting Bulma with Emperor Pilaf and everyone. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to watch it on my dad's old computer because that was the only thing that could play discs at the time.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
And then from there, I got like the VHS of the movie where Goku goes in the world tournament with the Native American dudes and General Tao, like, killing people with his tongue.
Yep.
Yeah.
And those were, like, the original things that I remember marathoning as a kid. And then I started getting into Dragon Ball Z, because that's what the VHSs were coming out directly after that. And it wasn't until later that I watched the rest of Dragon Ball. But that very first arc, where even, like, this was back in the day when they did the theme songs in English. So they did that original Makafushigi Adventure Dragon Ball opening, but it was a dude singing it in English. Like, that's a core memory that I have.
I remember of that, watching it.
But then, like, you guys, you know, who hasn't tried going Super Saiyan or like doing a Kamehameha or trying to fly?
I'm pretty sure everyone here has been yelled at by adults when, like, there's like a gathering going on with your family or family friends or whatever, and all the boys are just yelling, trying to power up like Goku and Vegeta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, God.
I remember coming home in swimming pools in particular.
Oh, yes, sir.
I would try to do Kamehamehas underwater.
Uh-huh. Or you'd go to the surface. You go to the surface and you do it like you're splashing the water at somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Good times. Like, even then, I remember when I, like, early elementary school, like, third through fifth, like, early to mid elementary school, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, like, coming home from school, and Cartoon Network would be playing Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, it would air on Cartoon Network at, like, 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even, and like, It didn't even have to be in an order. I didn't even need to know the story. Like, yeah, they were that's just the crazy cool things.
Like, I would miss some episodes here and there. I wouldn't care. I'd sit down and watch it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, but the other thing that it just triggered a memory of mine. Remember the Scholastic Book Fairs?
Yes.
Yeah.
The How to Draw Books?
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
That's how my artistry career started. That's how my interest in drawing started, is wanting to be able to draw Dragon Ball Z characters. And I would buy those books and try to draw it all I want and then be very bad at it and ending up tracing it instead.
Dude, the hair. Yeah, I remember tracing. I always, like, when I drew, I always gave the hair.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the other thing. He influenced even me in wanting to draw in general. That's literally what started my fascination for wanting to or being able to draw.
Like, I don't think we can downplay. Like, there's a whole generation of young kids out here, right, that are growing up with, like, My Hero, which is coming to an end, or even teens going with Jujutsu Kaisen, which is coming to an end, or like the kind of later in our lives, like, or not later, like early in our anime lives, but like it ended later in our lives, like the Narutos and stuff. Dragon Ball was that before any of it. Like Dragon Ball was.
And you know what the craziest part about Dragon Ball is too? I don't think anybody realizes how, like, it ended a long time ago. Dragon Ball Z, the original run, it ended in like the early 90s?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't get picked up in the U.S. until, like, late 90s, early 2000s. It was a big gap of a completely finished series that picked back up when and got supremely popular in the West after the fact, which is crazy.
Yeah, and
because Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z is a very old series.
Yeah, let's pull the dates on here. Because Dragon Ball
was in the 80s.
Because Dragon Ball was in as the a 80s fun for fact. Sure. Yeah, it Dragon Ball ran from 84 to 95 as a franchise, right?
Yeah, that includes Z too, because I don't think Z was a thing in the manga, right? It was just all Dragon Ball.
Yep, it includes Z. Sure. It was all, yeah, it was. I mean, if you bought like old stuff in the West here, it would say Z, but it was all Dragon Ball. And it's important to note, it was I think it still might be, because I actually have the History of Dragon Ball book that they put out. It was the fastest series to get an anime adaptation ever announced. Wow. Let me grab this book and see the exact dates. We're doing this live here.
Yeah, while you're looking into that, I can speak on the fact that I'm pretty sure Dragon Ball was one of the, if not the first series to be able to come up with a successful manga, push out an anime as fast, like as Wes is looking that up, and also go into merchandising as successfully as it did. Across all forms of, I guess, media in general.
And
all that stuff, yeah.
On the merchandising note, too, like, I open up to the very first page here of this. So, if people want to buy it, if they're interested in what I'm about to read from, it's called Dragon Ball, A Visual History. When I bought it, it was $34.99. It is well worth it, in my opinion. It's like an art book / timeline, but you open it up to the very first page that isn't a, like, poster that it comes with, and kind of talking about the character of Akira Toriyama, it starts with a foreword by him that's real short, so I'm going to read it. It said, "This might sound like a weird preface for an art collection, but I don't feel like I put much effort into the stuff I drew for Dragon Ball. But don't say, that implies you gave your all to other projects, right? Because I don't have a satisfying answer there either. Anyway, Dragon Ball was a manga series with a lot of emphasis on movement and action, so I was never too particular about the individual drawings themselves. I think I was just trying to convey that feeling of raw speed. Okay, that's just kidding. That's just my excuse for when people start to ask, was this art really worthy of a whole book? I'm still learning and practicing to this day, so please forgive me. Thank you to everyone browsing through, especially those who actually spent money on it." So. Wow. Words from his mouth, right? Like, people will go and, as I'm still looking for this, right? People will go and they'll hail him like we've been doing, and rightfully so, as, like, one of the godfathers of anime, one of the most iconic artists to exist stylistically, period. And in his own mind, he's like, well, I don't think it's really that good. And sometimes that's what the greats are really from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
But anyways, I'm still looking for it. So I just thought that was an interesting way to kind of start an art book here.
It's kind of cool to hear in a way that it's almost, he was still humble in terms of like, hey, yeah, I mean, I appreciate you spending your money. I'm still learning, really. Thank you. You know, it's not that good. I could be better, but thank you. Like, that's not an attitude that you see, and it could be more like Japanese culture, but that's not an attitude you really see.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is his particular art style is so unique and so recognizable. It's become its own thing.
I think it was either
Oda, even compared to other anime,
Oda or Kishimoto in one of their statements put out that when they think of main character, it's Goku, right? Like, that's how distinct he was as a character in a series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, I mean, if we're just talking about Goku in general, Goku is one of the most influential and recognizable fictional characters in the entire world. Like, he's only beat maybe by Pikachu, Mickey Mouse, and very few others, but he's top five, easy. People know who Goku is. He's the Macy's Day Parade.
Yep.
They might say his name wrong, but he's there. So it's hard to really quantify how huge this is. And even, I'll say this, even with Akira Toriyama being gone, it feels like he's gone, but it also feels like he could never be gone. You know, his legacy is just that big.
Yep. It's like that one One Piece quote from Dr. Hero Luke, when are you truly dead? When you're forgotten. He's never gonna be forgotten. He's basically immortalized in his work.
Yeah,
that's the coolest thing about art. You're kind of immortalized in human history. No one's ever gonna forget about you.
So Dragon Ball the manga, right? So we're talking OG Dragon Ball manga. It started in 1984, like I said, right?
Mm-hmm.
The anime started February
26, 1986. Oh, wow.
So if we're going off of, you know, serialization, right? The Dragon Ball manga, and I'm looking this up here. The Dragon Ball manga started in November 20th of 1984.
Jeez, that's fast.
So if you think about it, right? November of 1984, and then Dragon Ball starts in February of 1986.
It's like a year and a half, not even?
Yeah, so it's not like a even year, a year months. And a half. And you have to imagine, and I'm not going to find the exact quote in the book, that would take me too long, but it's not like it just dropped. It's not like they were like, oh yeah, it's February of 86, surprise, the Dragon Ball anime is starting. They announced it within a year of Dragon Ball starting, probably within 6 months of Dragon Ball starting being serialized. It was such a mega hit that they announced the anime was coming out. Like, that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, Demetrius, you and I were screaming for them to announce a Don to Don anime series, right?
Yeah, and they probably didn't announce it at the earliest, probably, let's say, 110 chapters in. So that's almost 2 years.
Yeah, like, Don to Don started in April of 2021, and they didn't announce the anime until, what, end of 23? The anime, and it's not coming out until October of this year.
October.
And I know it's a different environment, but just use that, like, Don to Don is a mega hit right now. use put that in perspective. Like Chainsaw Man took what people argue was a mega hit, took about the same amount of time to have an anime announced and released. Like, it just doesn't happen. And say what you will about filler and all that stuff, but like, it's hard to fathom, especially because we weren't living during it, just how huge Dragon Ball was.
Well, it literally came out 10 years before we were born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It ended when we were born. Think about that.
And mm-hmm. it's still being talked about to this day, 40 years later.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, yesterday was, as of time of recording, yesterday was Saiyan Day, 318, because you can read mm-hmm. that as Sa-i-ya, so it's like Saiyajin, which is like Saiyan.
That's the other crazy thing, if you think about it, the animation quality for back the then, things that were coming out.
Still holds up.
It still holds up, and at the time that it was coming out in the West, there was nothing like it on TV, and this was like 5 to 8 year old content that we were watching as it was coming out in the West.
Like, I'm going to use Saiyan Day in Dragon Ball Z Dokkan Battle, because that's what's happening, as an example, right, of just how iconic some of the stuff Dragon Ball is. They put a teaser out of what character was going to come out for Saiyan Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the teaser of it was a right hand with all five fingers spread out, pointing downwards. It was blacked out. They didn't say whose it was. And people were immediately like, that's Big Bang Attack Vegeta from the Cell Saga. There are so many iconic things from that set the stage for other series, like transformations.
Transformations and Super power-ups thing, in general.
But yeah, they're everywhere now. Everywhere. There's so many series like that will, especially comedy series, will always have one character that's like going Super Saiyan or does the Kamehameha. You can see it in Gintama.
Gintama? Yes.
Energy beams in general, the popularization of that type of attack. It's so simple in concept now, but I can't imagine being like one of the early adapters to that kind of, expression of a power.
Right.
It's crazy to put your head in that mindset before anything like that ever existed.
Even the high speed fights, like where you can't see everybody moving, to just illustrate how fast these characters are moving. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he pioneered it, but he pretty much perfected it and popularized it.
Yep.
I mean, we heard it in the foreword, right? He said speed was a key in Dragon Ball for him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we all hear the sound effect in our head right now of all the people teleporting from place to place to place on the screen.
It's so iconic. Anytime Toei uses that soundboard on all their anime, it's all Dragon Ball sound effects.
Uh-huh.
One Piece.
Still to this day, yeah. That's the other thing. A sign of the greats in fiction storytelling in general is like your, influence on the next generation. I take it to, what Tolkien's effect was in the West in terms of fantasy writers. You can see his DNA in every single fantasy book that's come out after him. That's similar to Dragon Ball's influence on Shonen after Dragon Ball. The DNA of Dragon Ball is in every single Shonen.
And it's interesting, like, at the time, to think about how Dragon Ball was birthed, right? Like, it started off as a...
Oh, yeah.
Take on, there's an artistic take on Journey to the West.
Yeah, the Chinese
thing.
Yeah. Which is why you get, like, especially with certain characters, like, full name being Tien Shin Han and that sort of thing. Like, you get a good amount of Chinese influence in Dragon Ball as well.
Yeah, the aesthetic of Dragon Ball is mainly Chinese. Like, OG Dragon Ball? Like, the mm-hmm. clothing, the building, well, some of the building structures.
Even the mountains in the back.
I was going to say the mountains are particularly modeled after actual mountains that exist in China.
Yep.
Mountain ranges.
The dragon, it's a Chinese dragon design.
It's a Chinese dragon.
For Shenron. Yeah. I mean, in Japan, it's not even Shenron, it's Shenlong, which is Chinese.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, the leap in the type of story Dragon Ball did when the Dragon Ball Z portion started, I can't imagine how it must have been to read on a weekly basis. You're like, what the heck is going on? Goku is a what? He's from where? He has a brother?
Yeah.
That was like nuts.
The lore drops must have been insanity.
Yeah.
Especially for the Saiyan saga.
Absolute great. Like,
then he dies in the first arc?
Yes. Yeah, that. Oh, boy. Yeah.
That was, again, having the Ocean dub VHS of that first arc, seeing Goku get special beam cannoned through by Piccolo while holding Raditz. It's like, oh boy. And then Piccolo taking Gohan to train Gohan.
So good.
It's wild just to think about each step of the way in Dragon Ball Z, just in Dragon Ball in general, but Dragon Ball Z, how it took it to another level. And basically, like, how it's hard to describe, like, the video game influence alone for Dragon Ball Z. I know we've all played it. We've all hated the Raditz mission in the first.
Yes.
In the first.
Oh my
Bugai,
god!
So you're trying to hold him straight.
My palm hurts.
Yeah.
Those games are so fun. I completely blanked out on the fact that I played.
And a new one's coming out.
PlayStation and PlayStation 2 career.
And it's almost always
Budokai.
The same story, but you pick the game up because you're like, nah, it's Dragon Ball Z. It's goated forever.
Yep. Budokai 2 is my personal favorite. Was that the board game one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The board game one was sick.
They never
collecting the capsules
around
and stuff.
They never re-released Budokai 2. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I don't know why. That was by far my favorite one.
It had the weirdest fusions. I don't know if they didn't want that to be
Gokuul
out there.
Tien and Yamcha. Which always, like, made sense in my mind. I don't know why. I was like, oh, Tien and Yamcha should probably be able to fuse.
Yeah, should be. That's legit. I think everybody thought that. Yeah, it makes sense.
You guys remember,
Dragon Ball has no bad arcs. Think about
it. You guys remember unlocking
the,
speaking on the, before we talk about the arcs, you guys remember unlocking some of the, like, characters before you've ever even seen them?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like seeing Super Saiyan 4 or like
Super
Omega Shenron
like,
for the first time.
Yeah. Mine was the dragon thing, Harutagon or whatever. What
Harutagon, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
Harutagon.
I
was like, who is
and
this?
And Tapion, I'm like, who is this guy?
Mm-hmm. Banger of a movie,
Janimba,
too, by the way.
Too. I remember me first seeing Janimba was before I saw the movie. I was like, who is this guy?
And Gogeta. Just the fusions in general, I always thought were like, because Vegeta was in the show, so I knew who Vegeta was. And then it's like, wait, Gogeta?
Yeah, who is Gogeta?
Like, I think that's probably why I like Gogeta more than Vegeta in terms of just like the fusion and the aesthetic is because it seemed special to me when I was playing Budokai. And then you'd get like Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta too. And it's like, who is this?
Then in the game, Super Saiyan 4, I think Goku, I think all the Super Saiyans, his Kamehameha was red.
Yes.
When it was in the tech, it was red. I thought, ooh, this is cool.
Oh, yeah.
And Big there's Bang just, Kamehameha times 100.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's just something special about, especially as a kid, I'm not of this current anime generation coming up, but there was always something super crazy about, like, Googling about Super Saiyan 4, 5, 6.
Oh,
and just
yeah.
And keep going.
The crazy, like the hair would get bigger and it'd turn white and they'd get like red lines all over their faces and stuff.
Yeah, I know
like
exactly
Dragon Ball
what you're talking about.
Like, this is another crazy thing to think about. Dragon Ball AF was a fan project. Did you guys ever read Dragon Ball AF?
I did not.
I didn't read it,
but
I
always
knew
looked
of
up
it.
Pictures. Yeah, I always looked up pictures for it.
I'd always see pictures. Dragon Ball AF was a project that some random guy was drawing, and it was his take on, you know, Dragon Ball afterwards, and it was like him and I think a team of a couple other people were putting out Dragon Ball AF. Fast forward to modern times, as my dog is barking upstairs, Toriyama taps the artist of Dragon Ball AF to be the artist of Dragon Ball Super.
That's crazy.
That's so crazy.
In Toyotaro.
Could you imagine?
And it's not like Super's like, ending, right? It's still right, going on.
But just imagine loving something so much that you make a fan project out of it, and the person that you are basing this work off of literally reaches out to you and is like, hey, come on board. Could you imagine?
Yeah, he put out, so cool. Toyotaro put out a tweet or a post or whatever it is on X now in regards to Toriyama's passing. I don't know if he put a larger statement out, but I saw Toyotaro, when it was officially announced, all he put up said, I started drawing to be praised by Toriyama.
Hmm.
And that was it.
Wow.
So it's like what you said, Demetrius. It's like, that's unfathomable to think that that happened.
Yeah, dude. I mean, as a grown man hearing stuff like that, to have a dream like that come true, I mean, that's the stuff you see people like cry on stage for. And that's like well understood.
And
it's just wild.
And it's like people meme on Dragon Ball now, right? Particularly like Dragon Ball Super, or especially Dragon Ball Heroes, where we've done it too. Where it's like, oh yeah, here comes Super Full Power Saiyan 4 Limit Breaker Vegito Zeno fighting Full Power Golden Metal Cooler Revived. Like, people joke about it with all the crazy transformations you get, canon or not canon. And, you know, it's... they'll overrate it, they'll underrate it, they're all the arguments you get. But at the end of the day, like, ever since it's come on the scene, Dragon Ball has been nothing but conversation piece. Like, how many times have you guys argued about power level scaling with other people on the playground? Yep.
All the time.
Not just on a playground, when I was a grown-ass man.
Yeah, the internet. I've been doing that at conventions. Like, what are you talking about?
I'm telling you, all they need to get is the Master Rabbit dude, Master Carrot from Dragon Ball, that can turn people into carrots by touching them, and they would have won the Tournament of Power easy.
Oh, easy, true. Bro. He would have been making Mochi. Get the guy, take him from making Mochi on the moon,
yes.
And he would have done it.
Speaking of, do you guys have like a personal favorite moment in Dragon Ball?
Yes.
Or Dragon Ball Z?
100%.
Sticks out to you?
Yes, 100%.
What is it?
We actually touched on it earlier. Like, the Super Saiyan transformation to me, watching it as a kid, because I lived in Japan when it was happening, at least in the West, right? And AFN, the Armed Forces Network, doesn't show shows like you would see here on the TV. So it had to come through the VHS. So, of course, I saw the Super Saiyan transformation, and I thought that was cool. I thought that was crazy. Until, like, that would have been my moment. Until Trunks shows up.
Dude, Trunks showing up is easy, like, top three.
Yeah. And the reason I say it's Trunks is because you have this whole massive, almost, and this is what I think is special about Trunks' show, like, his arrival, is how... I mean, I guess if you think about it, how besides the Buu arc, all the way up to the end of the Cell saga, the sagas all kind of bled into each other, right? It almost was a continuous story going through, in a way. So with Trunks, for me, the reason that's my number one moment in Dragon Ball in general is you have the threat of the Saiyans, you beat them. But then you got to go to Planet Namek to do some Dragon Ball stuff. You get there, Frieza is just this absolute, like, the first villain they introduce that can actually, like, destroy. I mean, Vegeta was threatening to destroy a planet, but Frieza, it's like, no. This guy is going to murder everybody. He kills Krillin, right?
He cries.
Yeah.
That was a jaw-dropping moment.
Like
that vulnerability, that vulnerable side of Vegeta that we first see
in yes.
the Frieza saga. Oh my yes. goodness.
Like you get this yeah. insane buildup of all these characters beating Frieza, and then what happens? Everyone thinks Goku is dead. The very first episode is everyone on Earth hanging out, try to revive Goku. Oh, it turns out he's not dead. Everyone's happy, and then boom, power level. Like, Gohan, I still remember, he's having nightmares of Frieza, right? As he's studying. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Man has PTSD.
And he's like, oh, no, it's not going to happen. Yep, it's like, it's not going to happen. And then Frieza and his dad show up to Earth. And it's like, Vegeta couldn't beat him. Gohan couldn't beat him. None of these guys could beat him. And it's not like there's been a significant, like what happens nowadays, where a villain will come back. And as a joke, it's like the new cast is way stronger than what they were before. Like, no, Frieza was a legit, like, I'm going to ruin the Earth. And random guy comes up and not only kills them.
We've never seen before. His transformation
was crazy, too, not going to lie. With all the bodies going up in the air.
With a Capsule Corp logo on his jacket, right?
Yes.
It's like, who?
Yes.
And he has a sword, which made him, like, that made him really cool. And not only does he kill Frieza and Frieza's dad, King Cold, but he also goes Super Saiyan, which is like this insane legendary power-up that took Goku seeing Krillin get blown up in the sky to attain. And it's like, no, this dude just has it. Like, that's why Trunks, to me, is his arrival not only is my favorite Dragon Ball moment, but it's probably like one of my favorite anime moments of all time. That's a good one.
It's insane just how he showed up. Like, you don't know who this dude is, where he came from, what he can do. And then he washes one of the biggest villains in the entire series, and you still don't know who he is. And he has one of the greatest powers up to that
point. The burning attack was so cool, too. Yep. With the hand thing.
Yep. I would try to redo that too.
Yep.
He gave King Cold his sword. He was like, oh yeah, you think it's the sword? Here, take it. Go ahead.
Then, not even that, as a guy, not to get too long-winded on this moment, but as a guy that, like I mentioned earlier, grew up watching Dragon Ball, where they set up Yamcha and Bulma the entire time.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And they're on again, off again, like love-hate relationship. Even in Dragon Ball Z, they set up the on again, off again. And then Goku's talking to Trunks, and Trunks is like, oh yeah, by the way, Vegeta's my dad and Bulma's my mom. And it's like, what?
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Vegeta? Like,
yo, Piccolo and Goku were shocked.
Yeah, Piccolo's sitting there because he can hear
it. I remember pink shirt Vegeta.
The bad man Vegeta?
Yeah, bad man.
He's like,
man.
Woman, what is this color?
Give me a towel. Yeah,
what is this color? A man does not wear pink.
She had the afro going on too, Afro Bulma.
Yeah. But speaking of Vegeta, perm,
whatever she had going on.
Yeah, if I was going to pick a favorite moment, the Trunks one was up there for me as well. I'm going to have to go with, in the Buu saga, surprisingly.
Oh, man.
Vegeta, Majin Vegeta, his little speech about pride, and then I'm going to tag that with his sacrifice. That was so cool when I first saw it. Like, this is crazy. That pride speech gets me hyped every single time.
Yeah.
We're just trying to fight off, like, the mind control thing. Is it something, something, something? What's a sand,
you could,
something?
He said, yeah, you might have control over my mind and body, but there's one thing a sand always keeps, his pride.
Yeah, his pride!
And with the Bruce Faulkner music, too. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's so good, dude.
Dude, and the speech... Or the talk he gives to Trunks beforehand too, because Kid Trunks is like, "Oh hey, I'll go out here and help you," and he's like, "Give me a hug, my son," and then boom, chops him. Finally understands like what it's like to have a family, dude.
And what fighting for something, like he has that in him now where he previously didn't in the Android saga and the Cell saga.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so cool to see.
Yep. And then the despair afterwards.
It's hard for me to pick one. Yeah.
Everyone's like, if Vegeta is down, what are we doing? Like, And he's turned to like stone too after he does the final explosion. Oh, yo. Oh man. Like Vegeta stays taking L's, but the L's he takes are so impactful. Yeah, he does. He does.
I think for me, because I love all the moments that you guys talked about, because Dragon Ball is really full of iconic moments, and it could be painted through the rose-tinted glasses because we grew up with it, but they were so impactful. The one for me would have to be in the Cell Saga, and it was Gohan going Super Saiyan 2.
Yeah.
And
oh
just
God,
seeing and mm-hmm. seeing what he could actually do when he was full powered.
Yep.
Because the whole series, right? The whole time since the very beginning of Z, it's a build up. Seeing these little glimpses of Gohan being like crazy strong, but he would never be able to control it.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue he still didn't really control it to the very end.
Mm-hmm.
But to see all that build up and then finally, I think even the narrator was like, you know, finally Gohan is unleashed.
Dude, the Android 16 speech the head gets crushed and Gohan just goes nuts.
Yeah.
Wild. I mean, it's
the
crazy
finishing
that
to
it's,
that arc is probably my favorite finishing to any Dragon Ball Z arc.
Same. It could have ended after the Cell Saga. But even the speech that 16 said of just saying, like, you know, it's okay to basically fight for what you believe in. Even if you're a pacifist, it's okay to fight for what you believe in because there's people that will try to take it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm generalizing here, but that's a wild statement. It's a statement that you can take in fiction and out of fiction.
Coming from an android, too. There's some layers to that scene.
Yeah, I mean, he's an android that cares for, well, quote-unquote android, cyborg that cares for natural life.
Can I give an honorable mention moment, too, coming from same saga?
Yeah.
When Android 18 gets slurped up by
Ayo.
Cell.
Yo,
I'm not saying this on...
Oh, please. We talk about this scene too much.
I ain't saying nothing on there.
All I'm saying is, man, you guys had vastly different reactions than me. I was horrified like the rest of the Z characters.
I don't know what was going on. I was a little boy, but I enjoyed what I was seeing, and I don't know why.
Android 18, what a character, first of all. Talk about a strong female character in Android 18. And shout out to Krillin.
I love
strongest
Krillin.
Human. Like, people don't realize
Krillin's
this.
That guy.
I feel like people ignore that Krillin is straight up just a guy.
Yeah. People need to watch the OG Dragon Ball because Krillin is so good in it.
Krillin is one of the best Dragon Ball characters, period.
Yes. Easily.
Mm-hmm. I feel like
a lot of people that have only seen Z and hasn't seen Dragon Ball, like the original when Goku was a kid, doesn't really understand
the first Super Saiyan transformation
First Super Saiyan transformation, mm-hmm. or like just the heart
the
of
bond.
Dragon Ball started it with like comedy. It started so small before it got huge.
That like, was his the, best friend. Like
the
not
bond
even
of Goku
debate.
And Krillin, dude.
Yeah. Training partner for his entire career, basically, since he was a child. Like,
this is the guy who
got strong with. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they started. I have a figure of Goku. I wish they did one of Krillin that matched with the milk cartons running with the heavy turtle shell on.
Yeah.
And Krillin, like, what a character growth. Because Krillin and Goku started off as, like, rival characters. Like, they were being trained by Master Roshi, but Krillin and Goku, like, even though Goku was the innocent kind of goofball, Krillin was always trying to get one over on Goku for a little bit. And people forget, Krillin got waxed by King Piccolo and his guys,
mm-hmm.
like Tambourine and all of them, and that set Goku off. Like, there's so much history with some of these characters that people don't get by not watching.
Even Tien and like
Yamcha. Yep. The people who just watch Z don't understand.
Yo, the wolf,
especially Tien, I feel. They're not fodder characters at all. They were very well developed in Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, Dragon Ball, what was cool about it was also like, of course, there were the powers that were kind of, you know, you not quite to the level of Z with beam clashes and beam, like key blast spam and stuff. But it was a lot of actual just martial arts and comedy.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, Tien's power was he grew, like, different arms and cloned himself and had to fight Goku. Like, Yamcha's Wolf Fang Fist was straight up just, like, punches and kicks. He'd say Wolf Fang Fist and do something, like, different every time. But I do actually, though, I do actually have, jokes aside, an honorable mention moment. And it is from the Android Cell Saga. And it's because I feel like I just saw this on repeat all the time. But and it does have to do with Android 18. But Super Saiyan Vegeta versus the androids. Like getting his arm cracked by Android 18.
Mm, yeah, that was terrifying.
And so then moving scary. Then moving up to
Piccolo versus
17. Like, yeah. Those individual fights were insane to me. Piccolo versus 17, people sleep on, too.
Yo, it's so underrated.
Piccolo versus Cell, too.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Super Vegeta versus Cell with the final flash?
Dude, that was so sick.
Oh my god.
And the whole concept of the hyperbolic time chamber, training arcs and whatnot, also... Trunks coming and going super Saiyan or whatever it was too buff, it had the power to keep up or potentially beat Cell, but the speed was lacking, and then Gohan is the one who condensed it into keeping the speed and the power. That was the only difference between the two.
Another crazy moment when Trunks gets shot through by Cell and Vegeta and Vegeta's like, what? That's my son! And starts doing the key blast spam.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Vegeta, low-key, great dad, family guy.
I love Vegeta.
Yeah, Vegeta's classic dad energy. He acts like he doesn't care what he really does.
When him and Trunks are training before the World Tournament at the Buu Saga, and he's like, if you hit me, I'll take you to get ice cream. Oh, yeah. And he hits him and he slaps the shit out of him.
And he's like, hush, we'll go.
He's like, we're going to the park for 30 minutes.
That episode I watched a lot too, that there was the tape I had. That Super Saiyan transformation in that with Gohan after Videl got beat up by Spopovich and stuff.
Yes.
That was
a good
transformation.
Mm-hmm. With the goon in the stands.
Oh no.
The goon, I'm saying it. In the stands being like, Gohan is... the Great Saiyan Man and the Golden Warrior.
What was his name? Sharpner or something like that?
Sharpner? Yes. Yeah.
The blonde dude that liked Videl. Dude, can we also talk about Pixie Cut Videl? Oh, boy. When she cuts her hair.
She was doing
her thing. Oh. Damn.
She was doing her thing.
That was tough, though.
There's so much, like... of Dragon Ball and just the series, seeing the characters like interact with each other, it never gets old.
Here's what we didn't talk about though.
How crazy censored the US broadcast version was versus the actual original cut.
Yes.
Because when I grew older and saw the uncut, I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Spopovich versus like Videl. I was like, yo, this is actually hard to watch. I'm a little angry that Gohan didn't jump in sooner.
Yes. What was he doing? He was thinking, he's like, do I really want to lock myself into Videl right now? Because that's what I'm about to do.
Yeah, he's like, I'm about to blow this whole thing up. Like, my name is Majin Vegeta. But,
oh, man. But, I mean, I think something that is important to note as well, because we've talked about it when talking about different series, and I know we're jumping all over the place here, and I know the episode's getting longer, But the way that Goku, and I think it's good to wrap it on this. This is actually a really good ending spot. The way that Goku affected people around him, rather than being a character that changed himself, it's so fitting, listening to our stories, that within the series, and you see it in other series like One Piece with Luffy and stuff, the main character ends up being a vehicle for change rather than the person that changes. And mm-hmm. in real life, Goku acted as a vehicle for change for a lot of people's lives in a lot of different aspects. I mean, I had a coworker that told me during COVID he marathoned Dragon Ball, and that helped him get it through because he was in a really tough spot. And, you know, it's cool to see the character actually transcend into our lives, into our friends and family's lives, into the lives of people around the world in general. So on that note, rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for everything that you've set going forward. And I hope you're up there, wherever it may be, you know, depending on people's beliefs, with your soda, your model car, your senbei crackers, your cigarette, and your dirty magazine. My name was Wes. This was Demetrius and Saeed, and you guys know what to hit them with.
To be continued.
Bebop, don't stop. Rest in peace.